Good evening. It's brilliant to be back with you. And we're continuing a series looking at prayer. So if you've been here for all of them, you will have heard Chris start the series off, and he talked a little bit about some words of Martin Luther. And then Charlie led us in looking at prayer in adversity. Barry talked about Jonah's prayer. Fiona talked about Elijah's prayer, and last week Ewan talked about Paul's prayer. All of them looking at how we pray, what we say, what we pray about, how we do it. And today, because I had the freedom to choose, I chose to look at the other side of prayer and look at listening. A lot of focus on prayer is about how we pray and what we say, and I'd just like us to spend some time thinking about how do we listen? How do we hear when we're in this conversation with God? So let's just pray together before we do that. Father, thank you that you reveal yourself as a God who communicates. And Father, we pray that this evening as we look at your word, that the most important thing is that we will hear you speak to us. Amen.
Amen.
Two things to say before we start. There is a huge danger in trying to simplify a complicated subject. St. Augustine famously said, if you can comprehend it, it isn't God. Which is a very humbling thing to read before you start trying to teach. But it's true. If you can comprehend it, it isn't God. So whatever we look at this evening, there is more. We're just looking at a little bit. And in preparing this, I kept, because I was given a little bit of guidance, kept going, right, I'm going to find a scripture, and I'm going to use a scripture, and I'm going to... And every time I went to scripture, it just felt to me as if God was saying, step further back, step further back, step further back. Take a bigger picture, take a bigger picture. So that's what I'm going to do. If we step right back, we have to ask ourselves the question, well, why do we listen anyway? Why don't we just give God a list of requests and go away? Why do we actually involve listening and hearing in the process of prayer, in this relationship? And I think there are a number of really good reasons. One is because God communicates, because God chose to reveal himself. We could not work our way to God. God chose to reveal himself to us. So he encourages us. He speaks to us and says, right, come this way. Come and find out more about me. I'm showing you bits of myself. I'm showing you truths, I'm showing you aspects of my character and the relationship I want with you. In Genesis, the second verse of chapter 1, it said, God said. So again, God's revealing that he created through his word. There's something powerful about God speaking something. It's important, it's right there in the beginning of Genesis. So listening to God's word is a powerful thing, it's a creative thing. And we're designed to do it. God reveals himself as Trinity. So actually, in the Godhead, there is communication. So there's that famous verse in John about God is love. Well, I think you could say God is communication. It's inherent in who God is. God is a communicating God. It's not a single solitary God in a remote space thinking, well, I might talk to you, but I might not. It's in his nature to communicate. And the most consistent picture of us is of being a family. And part of being a family is we talk. We talk about around mealtimes. We get up in the morning, we have conversations, we argue with one another. Sometimes we don't talk to one another and we have to come back and say sorry. But it's in the nature of a family relationship that we communicate, I hope. So I think there's a whole lot of encouragements right the way from the beginning of creation, right the way through scripture, where God is saying, I want to have a conversation. I want to talk to you. I want to involve you in conversation. And there are things I want to explain. So, if we've established that God does communicate, well, how? This is where we're going big picture, I hope. Old Testament. So go, we've got one slide to cover the whole of the Old Testament, but it'll be fine. So I've picked a few people, a few characters, a few situations out and said, well, what happened? How did God communicate with these people? So Adam and Eve. So how did God communicate with Adam and Eve? Sorry, this is not a rhetorical question. Yes. Now, what's shown to us is he walked in the garden and he had a conversation. Now, I'm not going to get into a debate about how we interpret the early chapters of Genesis, because I don't think it's relevant. What it does say is, it's a communication. Adam and Eve had a communication with God. They had a conversation. They could say things to God, they could hide things from God. And God respected that in the way that he spoke to them. Abraham. So how did God speak to Abraham? This is not a trick, you're not going to get bonus points, but I can see people going, not sure what to say now. Go on, how did God speak to Abraham? Spoke in dreams was one way that he spoke to Abraham. He spoke to Abraham and gave him a command and a promise. He revealed himself in what apparently is a theophany, when the three people came to see Abraham, and it's meant, depends who which interpretation you read, but one is that that was God presenting himself to Abraham in human form, and it's called a theophany. So again, face-to-face communication with Abraham. Now, we'll come back to that. Jacob. How did God speak to Jacob? Yeah, Jacob had dreams. Jacob had a dream about a ladder, a stairway going up to heaven with the angels ascending and descending, and he didn't fully understand it. It was one of God's ways of communicating with him. How else did God talk to Jacob? Or communicate with Jacob?
You wrestled with him.
You wrestled with him, yes. Now, I can't imagine there are many of us who, in our teaching on prayer, someone says, right, God is going to come and wrestle with you. But he did with Jacob. Keep thinking about this. Now, maybe not a standard one. A donkey. It's funny, everybody knows that one. God spoke to Balaam through his donkey. And we go, oh yeah, it's a nice children's story. Well, it's in scripture for a reason. God gave Balaam prophecies. Balaam wasn't a Jew. He wasn't part of the household of God, but God spoke to him and gave prophecies to a king about Israel. And you think, okay, how do I begin to get my head around this? Because what I'm beginning to see is that God communicates in a wide variety of ways, and he doesn't always communicate to the people we expect. Because sometimes we think, you know, we have exclusive rights on God. God's going to talk to us. Well, actually, God can talk to anybody in any way. He's a very flexible God. Joshua, how did God speak to Joshua? Dreams and an angel. So as they're about to go into the promised land, and he's going, well, who are you? Are you for us or against us? He said, well, neither. I'm the commander of the Lord's armies. And he had a message for Joshua. So again, God speaking in different ways. Now, this one we could stay on for a long, long time. In the Psalms, what do people...
I'll say it's poetry.
Poetry, yeah. God speaking in poetry. God.
Night sky.
Night sky. I'm speaking to you through my creation. Falling stars, the mountains, the streams, the deer. God using all of that imagery to talk to us and to speak to the psalmist in all sorts of different situations. Last one for the Old Testament. And I know we could go on for a long time doing this, but Nebuchadnezzar. How did God speak to Nebuchadnezzar? I'm hearing it whispered.
Writing on the wall.
Writing on the wall, well, and through dreams. He gave Nebuchadnezzar a dream, and then he had to go and get Daniel to interpret it. I think that's really interesting. God spoke to the king of a foreign nation and then used an Israelite to give him the interpretation. Really interesting. So it's not an exhaustive list, it's just trying to illustrate that in the Old Testament, God used a whole variety of ways of talking to people, and he didn't just speak to the Jews. God speaks to all sorts of people in lots of different ways. So, New Testament. There are some people there get ready with the answers before I've even put the names up, but that's fine. Jesus.
How did God speak to us in parables?
Jesus spoke to us. Yeah, absolutely. How did God speak to Jesus?
In his heart.
Yeah.
In a cloud.
He appeared in a cloud. So the transfiguration. That there was a voice from heaven when Jesus was baptized. Now you could say, is he speaking to Jesus? Is he speaking to the crowd? I appreciate. A dove descended on Jesus at his baptism. Another method of communication. Jesus regularly went to quiet places by himself. Now it doesn't record how God spoke to him in those quiet places, but he obviously created places and opportunities where he could just listen. And one of the verses that I think is fascinating says in John, Jesus is talking to his disciples and says, I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself, he can do only what he sees the Father doing. Now what does that mean? To me, it means as Jesus was walking around, he was looking, and sometimes he saw his Father doing something that he then got involved in. So why did he heal some people and not heal other people? Why did he pick on Zacchaeus? Why did he pick on Bartimaeus? I think, if I'm understanding this correctly, because he was walking around all the time saying, God, what are you doing? What's happening here? Who should I speak to? Who should I get involved with? Who should I spend time with? So he was constantly listening to God for directions to what he should do each day. I don't believe that Jesus woke up every morning with his timetable planned for the day. Going, I know what I'm going to be doing. You know, between 9 and 10 I'm doing this. I think he was responsive. Because he was listening. He was hearing God and saying, how can I adjust my day? So, what does listening by seeing mean? Interesting. Talked a little bit about it this morning. Steph was talking about looking at people and seeing them, how God sees them. And that's part, I think, of Jesus listening. So, some other people. Peter. How did Peter hear God? Dreams, yeah, Peter had dreams. Peter had an angel that appeared and rescued him from prison. Peter had visions. So famous one when he's praying and God gives him a vision of a sheet with various foodstuffs that comes down. And he's using that to prepare him for the people that are coming from the house of Cornelius. So it's preparation to get Peter in the right frame of mind for the next thing that was going to happen. Okay, just two more. Paul. How did Paul... Sorry?
Light.
Light, yes. Road to Damascus. Bright light blinded him. And then a voice speaking to Paul. He had a dream about a man from Macedonia. The Holy Spirit guided him. Prophecy, when he's praying with a group of Christians and one of them prophesies about what God is going to do with him in the future. And the risks, or the certainty, of the dangers that he will face. So again, Paul was hearing God in a whole variety of ways. Last one. John.
Visions.
Yes. Amazing visions. I don't know over what period of time that all happened, but God showed him amazing things visually and spoke to him. So why are we doing all of that? It's really what struck me from it is, to me, it shows that God speaks in a wide variety of ways. And the question is, are we happy with that? Are we open to that? Is it okay? Can God speak to us in a wide variety of ways? Through our day, can God only speak to us in our quiet time? Can God only speak to us through Scripture? Or can God speak to us at any time? Can God speak to us through a situation that we're in? Can God speak to us through creation? Can God speak to us through non-Christians? I think the answer is yes. The question is, are we open to hear? God speaks to us in a huge variety of ways. God can use donkeys to speak to people. And some of us need that sometimes. God speaks to Jews and Gentiles, believers and non-believers. We don't have the exclusive right to be the ones that hear from God. And there are some very, very confusing things, aren't there? And people from Islamic backgrounds having amazing dreams that God is using as part of their conversion. God's saying, I can talk to anybody in any way. I am very, very flexible. But one of the things that comes out of those examples, I think, is God doesn't always talk about the things that we want to talk about. So in several of those situations, people go to God to talk about one thing, and God basically ignores what they came to talk about and says, what I want to talk to you about is this. Or he breaks into their life, like Moses, and says, right, there's a burning bush, come over here, have a look at it. I've got something to say to you. And again, I think, how open are we? It's the danger sometimes of going with a list of prayers, a list of requests, even a list of things to praise God for, and then not giving God time to talk to us about anything different. So it's possible to have a prayer meeting where people pray for an hour, non-stop. And we could walk away, and could God say, when's it my turn? I've heard you for an hour. When are you going to just shut up and listen? Yeah, I'm not setting a rule for that. It just struck me. For so many of those examples, God spoke to those people about things that they weren't asking about. They weren't expecting it. But they were open to hear. So what conclusions do we draw from that, from those people? I think we do need time to be quiet and listen on a consistent basis. If we haven't got that, it's really hard to hear. If we're over busy, it's really hard to see what God is doing as we go through each day. We become preoccupied. We have our own biases and our own prejudices, and we see the world through, as Steph said this morning, our glasses become a little mucky, and that filters what we see. So I think there's a requirement, a necessity, to have times of quiet when we just sit and let go and say, God, what do you want to talk about? Because it may not be what I want to talk about. I think also, through the scriptures we've looked at, that listening is both an individual and a corporate activity. It's a long time, and this will show my age, and there might be people in the room that go, yeah, I remember. Does anybody remember having tarrying meetings? No? The reference to tarrying. It just means waiting. I've not seen a tarrying meeting advertised for years. But that's basically what you did. You tarried, you waited for the Holy Spirit. And churches would give half nights or whole nights of tarrying. Again, be interesting. I have a little thought in my mind for one of the things that it'd be really good to do in our new building. just to have some time for waiting. So we've got some plans and we've got some things we'd love to talk to you about, but what are you saying? What do you want to say to us? What are you saying about Hayward Heath? How do you see this town that we don't yet see? There's a requirement to be persistent in waiting and listening. I think it's hard. You know, the rate of our lives, the technology that we use, everything is instant. Even in preparing this, if I get frustrated, I can whack something into Google and something will come up that will provoke my thinking. It isn't necessarily helpful. It just fills my mind and gives me additional notes to write down. There's a requirement, I think, to be open and to hear and see God in all circumstances, and to allow God to surprise us and to speak to us through people that we don't necessarily expect. And I think, finally, it has to start from a position of recognising that we're loved by God. Because if we don't start from that position, it's very hard, I think, to trust that God wants to talk to us. This is a relationship, not a technique. It's one of the reasons why, in what I'm saying, there are no techniques. I was very tempted to throw a few in. I thought, no. Actually, listening is about a relationship. It's not about a series of techniques. Some of you may have seen some BBC arts programmes with a nun. Sister Wendy Beckett did a few arts programmes. She wrote a book on prayer. And when she was asked about it, she said, I really struggled writing this book. I said, why did you struggle? She said, well, I sort of felt a bit of a fraud because I'm writing a book about something that I find so easy. I don't understand why people find it so hard. And people go, okay, fair enough. So why is it so easy? She said, well, prayer for me is really simple. You just need to have the courage and the faith to sit quietly and let God love you, even if it's only for 10 minutes a day. You just need to have the courage and the faith to sit quietly and let God love you, even if it's only for 10 minutes a day. What she captured, I think, is that our relationship is fundamental to our hearing, not necessarily linked to us getting the answers to the questions that we're asking. It's being open to say, God, what do you want to talk about? I'm really conscious in saying all of this that we're looking at situations where people have heard from God. And there are several where they didn't. So we could have gone back through some of those names. We could have looked at Job. We could have looked at some of the Psalms. We could have looked at Paul. We could have looked at Jesus. Say, well, what happens when God doesn't answer? And you're desperate for him to answer. Probably the most helpful book that I've read recently on that was by Pete Gregg. It's a book entitled God on Mute. Some of you may have read it. I think it's very good. I think it's a very broad approach, and it's a very scriptural approach to the problems when we desperately want God to speak and God just seems to be silent. So I'm not going to talk on that. I'll refer you to that book. How do we close? Well, I think there's only one way we can close, isn't there? We're going to spend 2 minutes in quiet. So I'm just going to invite us, if you want to close your eyes, that's absolutely fine. I will time the 2 minutes. I just want to pray for us and then just leave 2 minutes of silence before we sing our final song. Father, thank you that you love us, that we're your children and you want to speak to us. And Father, I don't want to manipulate, but Father, we do want to just quieten ourselves. So Father, are there things that you would like to speak and say to different peoples in this room? And if there are, please do that. Father, thank you that you are a Father, that you communicate, that you are so creative. Father, praise this evening and this week that you would continue to speak to us. that Father, as we hear from you, as we work with you, that we would be involved in partnership in seeing your kingdom come in this place. Amen.